Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. Since this is the Sabbath before atonement, we're going to cover the question, when did Satan become the god of this world? Okay. Now, I have this from a man that I knew years ago, and he sent it in. I just want to make one comment in starting before we do, because in his communication to me through email, he uses the sacred names. Now then, think of this. Revelation 7, the 144,000 and great innumerable multitude, and especially the great innumerable multitude, from every nation and kindred and tongue and language, they won't have the faintest idea of what a sacred name is. But remember that at the beginning of the tribulation, you have the three angels' messages come first. Okay? Fear God is one of them, preaching the gospel, and the third one is warning about the mark of the beast. Well, when should you warn about the mark of the beast? Before it's implemented by force? Or after it's implemented? Well, obviously before. Okay. Now, the great innumerable multitude and 144,000 of Revelation 7 are about 2 years into the last three and a half of the tribulation. And as we covered last week, tribulation is 7 years long, half peace, half the trauma and the tribulation. Okay. So, when you get down to it, then you have to ask another question. Of all the languages that are in the world, who was the one who created all of them originally? God did. Genesis 11. Whatever was in their mind, he changed the languages in all the people's minds according to their family grouping, obviously. Just like when he created Adam and Eve, he created them with a working language. So, since the Jews do not even know the correct pronunciation of the sacred names, and I get a kick out of this always, there's a man who has the Church of Yahweh in Bethel, Texas, very interesting, and he pronounces it Yahweh, okay? Now, trying to figure out the Texas accent, you don't know if that is your way or what. But you see, and you don't find in the New Testament any of the sacred names from Hebrew there. But we do have a couple of Aramaic names that Paul put in there, which are Abba, Father. And then you have the Aramaic that is there when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And they put it in there, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Okay. So that shows that they spoke generally Greek as the first language, Hebrew or Aramaic as the second language, and Latin as the third language as it relates to some of the Romans, because most of the Romans spoke Greek. So that said, let's get into the topic. When did Satan become the god of this world? The question is asked, supposing the context that there was a time he wasn't. Yes, we'll find out that there was a time he wasn't. Was it at the time of creation? Was it when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord and all changed Yahweh to the Lord? Was it at the crucifixion of the Messiah? Was it when Paul was alive? Could there be some other biblical authority to tell us? Well, we will examine it all, okay? Then he has several other questions in here. So we will answer all of those by Scripture. First of all, the place to begin is in the beginning, Genesis 1 and verse 1. And a proper reading of the first verse is very important. Then we will get other scriptures which will pinpoint for us when Satan rebelled and when he became God of this world. Those are two different events. But here in Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God, full stop in the Hebrew. That means God was there before anything else. Now then the question comes up, how do we understand that? Well, we don't, because that's at a level that God understands. And we can just say, when we are born again into the kingdom of God, the family of God, then we will have greater understanding and we will be able to know. Created the heavens. Full stop. That means there's an indeterminable period of when God created the heavens. Okay? And the earth. That came after creating the heavens. That's why there's the full stop. Now, the earth, as we will see, is considerably older than the 6,000 years that many of the Protestants like to claim, because they failed to put the scriptures together to determine how old the earth is. You can't determine exactly how old the earth is, and we'll talk about some of those things a little later. Then we have verse 2. And the earth was or became without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. So there was already a flood by verse 2. Question, how did that flood come about? Did God create the earth in chaos and confusion and covered with a flood? Okay, well, we'll answer that. And we will see, here is the flow of creation. God, heavens, earth, but between heavens being created and earth being created, we will see that the angels were created. So you've got heaven, angels, earth, then we will see rebellion, first flood, then man. Now, it doesn't give us any number of days or years or eons or anything like this. Now, let's see. Heaven's being created. And think about this for just a minute. If God created everything 6,000 years ago and he lives forever, what was he doing up to the time of 6,000 years ago? Nothing? Okay. Now, we will see that proposition of only 6,000-year-old universe and earth is not true. And we will see why. Let's first of all come to Job 38. And this will tell us some very important things. Job 38. Now that's right after the book of Proverbs. Job 38. Job 38, verse 1. Remember when Job said, oh, that the Lord would answer me? Well, be careful what you wish for, Job, because God did. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? It's a little sidebar. It's hard for people to understand what Job's sin was. He was righteous, like he said. All of it was righteousness which came from God, which is true. But his sin was he took all credit for it rather than giving God the credit. And that's a summary as to why none of these three friends were able to find out what it was that he did, because he was righteous. Okay? Now then, this also tells us and gives us proof that by your own works, even though it's what God says, you can't earn salvation. Okay, let's go on. He says, verse 3, Now gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? So there was a time when God laid the foundations to create the earth. Declare it if you have understanding. Who has determined its measurements? If you know. Or who has stretched the line upon it? On what are the foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Now notice verse 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The morning stars and sons of God are two classifications of angels. We will see before Satan sinned, he was called the morning star. Now, what does this show at this point? To verse 7 about the earth. All the angels were in agreement with what God did. They shouted for joy because that was to be their habitation. As we will see later, they left it. And we will see why they left it. All right? Now, let's come to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Now, we find that there was a time that the one who was called the anointed cherub that covers, and we'll see in Isaiah 14, the morning star, that there was no sin. And we will ask the question, what caused them to sin? And where can we find it in the Bible? It is there. All right. Let's read it here. All right, verse 12, Ezekiel 28. Son of man, and it's interesting, the phrase son of man is used of Ezekiel almost exclusively all the way through here. Now, little sidebar on the son of man. Jesus called himself the son of man, especially when he was in Judea, because of all of the religious leaders there. There were a couple of times that he called himself the Son of God. And then they came after him just with all barrels blazing, as it were. Okay? And say to him, thus says the Lord, you have sealed up the measure of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in the Garden of Eden. Now stop and think here. Ask the question. Who was in the Garden of Eden? Adam, Eve, the Lord, and later, Satan. Okay? After they sinned, only God was in the Garden of Eden, and he put the cherubim with the swords to keep the way so they couldn't come to the tree of life or come into the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden was destroyed at the flood. Let's continue here. Every precious stone was your covering, and then list all of them. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub that covers. I set you so, you were upon the holy mountain of God. That's where the throne of God is. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, because it's all like sapphire stone with. And the fire is not necessarily heat. It's probably the reflection of the glory of God's creation. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created. So, first of all, God created the heavens. Then he created the angels. Then he created the earth. Until iniquity was found in you. When was iniquity found in him? Now, this also shows that it was a choice. He chose to do so. When did that occur? Let's come to Revelation 12. Now, isn't it interesting that this question could not be possibly answered for nearly 4,000 years in the writings of the Bible. Okay? But here in the very last book, Book of Revelation, God gives us a vision of what happened and why, we will see, he rebelled. Now then, remember, God said he laid the foundation of the earth, and the morning stars and the sons of God sang for joy. Revelation 12, verse 1. Then there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, having the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, this is God's plan summarized in the woman who was to be Israel and the church. Now, another little sidebar in this that we need to consider, which is this. This woman changes meaning in the 12th chapter of Revelation to Israel, to Mary, and so it brings up the question, because the woman had the man-child who was to rule all nations, which is only Christ, okay? Which brings up the question, and we can't answer. What is the reward of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the kingdom of God, in relationship to what the Father did in impregnating her with the Son of God? We don't know. Does this tell us something about it? I don't know. But anyway, verse 1 is the epitome of Israel and the church. Okay? And being with child, she cried in travail and was in pain to deliver. And another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. Now, let's ask the question. The prophecy of being with child projected forward quite a ways, but it came back to the time of when Satan rebelled. Verse 3. Another sign was seen, behold, a great dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. This is the rebellion of Satan and one third of the angels. This is when the rebellion took place. This is when the, maybe not the thought of sin, but the action of rebellion against God by his thoughts of vanity and sin that he had there in Ezekiel 28 were manifested. Then it projects forward to the coming of the Messiah, which then was first prophesied about when? To Adam and Eve right after they sinned. Okay? And so he wanted to kill the child, Matthew the 3rd chapter, with the 3 wise men and Herod, etc. But God intervened. Now we will see all the way through that Satan wants to supplant God and Christ. Okay? So here is the rebellion that took place. This is when he sinned. Now, was it when he found that God had another plan before he created the angels that he didn't tell them about until he laid the foundation of the earth? All right, let's come to Ephesians, the 1st chapter. Now, we have to put the scriptures together to get the story flow. It's not all in one place. Okay. Ephesians, the 1st chapter. Let's pick it up in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. And remember, if it is spoken of by God before it occurs, it is good, is done. because the scripture cannot be broken and God cannot lie. Verse 4, according as he has personally chosen us for himself before the foundation of the world. So God had this plan before the foundation of the world, before we ever existed. That's what it's referring to. Not that we existed somewhere before the foundation of the world. In order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. Now, we'll just short circuit the rest of that. That we would become the sons and daughters of God and be over the angels. Didn't Paul say we will judge angels? Doesn't the superior judge the inferior? Yes, indeed. Is that when Satan rebelled? When he found out the plan that God had, and instead of being the super ruler that he thought he was, now he was going to be a servant to human beings less than he was, and that they would have a privilege and destiny greater than his, as he was only a covering cherub, an angel, and human beings were destined to become after the God family, after the God kind. Now you think about human situations. In human situations, when someone finds out that this lowly person is going to be promoted over you, there would be rebellion. Well, that's exactly what happened. Now, question. How long were the angels on the earth before the rebellion took place? And before God revealed to the angels what his plans for human beings would be? And how that they would be made after the likeness and image of God? And the angels weren't. What happened? Okay, let's come to the book of Jude. Book of Jude. You go back to Corinthians and Romans and then the book of Jude. Just before the first chapter of Romans. Jude, let's pick it up in verse 8. And in the same way also, these dreamers of filthy dreams are defiling the flesh and... No. Wrong verse. Verse 6. Correction, verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their original domain, which was on the earth, but deserted their habitation in rebellion against God to ascend to heaven to make war against God. Isaiah 14, where Satan said, I will be like the Most High. I don't like his plan. I'm going to get rid of him and I'm going to set up mine. But deserted their habitation, he is holding in eternal bonds under darkness under the judgment of the great day. Okay? Satan is called the one who is the power of darkness. Okay? Since we're right here, come back to Acts the 26th chapter. Acts 26. So he is in darkness and has no light in him. And he's also the father of what? Lies. Okay? Then we'll see some of the powers that Satan has with people here in just a minute. All right? Acts 26 and verse, let's pick it up here in verse 15. When he was knocked to the ground, then Paul said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Isn't that interesting? If you persecute the children of God, you're persecuting Jesus. So God will take vengeance on them accordingly. Now arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness, both of what you have seen and what I shall reveal to you. I am personally selecting you from among the people and the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes. Now, this is to the truth. What did Satan tell Adam and Eve? We'll get there in just a minute. I will open your eyes and you can decide. What really happened was their eyes were open to see evil, but not good. In other words, their minds were closed to the good of God, blinded as Satan does wherever he goes. Okay, good question. Question is, would not God have known that Satan was going to rebel? Now then, if you give free choice, God does not intervene with free choice. So I am sure that he had free choice. If he were a robot, then he would have been made a robot to be righteous only. But since he had choice, there was always the possibility that he could sin, but there was always the possibility that he would choose not to sin. Same thing with us. We have to choose. All right? Now that he sinned because they left their first estate, and the first estate must have been fantastic and beautiful. Whether that was the age of the dinosaurs or not, I don't know. But it probably was. Let's finish here in Acts 26. Verse 18. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, so that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified through faith in me. All right? So when did Satan become Satan from Lucifer, or the morning star, or the covering cherub? When he began to form his rebellion. How long that was, we don't know. How did he get a third of the angels to go with him? Probably promising them positions. If they could overthrow God, then they would set the agenda for the whole universe. Now, when did he become God of this world? He became God of this world after it was recreated for man to live on, and Adam and Eve sinned by listening to the serpent instead of God. At that point, he became God of this world, or this age, the age of mankind. Okay? That's when he became that. All right? Now, let's come here to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, and let's look at a couple of things here. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Now, Satan being the deceiver, all right, before we get there, I want you to write all of these down. We don't have time to turn to every scripture here, so I will repeat the scripture several times. All right? The devil means the adversary. And Satan is only used once in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles 21. All right? Now then, the devil is adversary. That's what the name means. Revelation 9:11. Revelation 9:11. Destroyer. Apollyon, that means destroyer. And the same scripture, he's the angel of the abyss. In other words, wherever all the angels are imprisoned, he is the one who is over them. And a lot of them are not allowed on the earth yet. And they won't be until that fifth seal is opened. And put this in your notes too. Zechariah 13, I've covered this before. One of the first things God is going to do is get rid of the unclean spirits in the land. So that tells us when Satan is bound, the demons will be bound with him also. Okay? Revelation 12:9, deceiver of the world. Revelation 12:9, John 12:31. John 12:31. The prince or ruler of this world. Ephesians 6:12. The prince or ruler of darkness. 1 Peter 5:8. A roaring lion. Now, isn't that interesting? Because you have the true lion, which is Jesus, Revelation 5, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay. Then you have the counterfeit, the lion, Satan, the devil. All right. Matthew 12:24. Beelzebub. 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 Prince of the demons. Revelation 12:7. The dragon. Revelation 12:10. The accuser of the brethren. Revelation 20:2. That ancient serpent. Okay. Interesting, isn't it? John 8:44. A liar from the beginning. The father of lies. He also has his children. Now, who are his children? Those human beings who worship him directly. Now, that's versus the children of God or the children of the kingdom, who is us. So there's a lot to it, okay? Now, let's come here to, we'll come back to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, but let's come to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke 10. Now, this is when he sent out the 70 to heal the sick, cast out demons, and they came back. All right? He told them, go heal the sick, raise the dead. Okay. Preach the gospel. Then he says right here, verse 16, and he told them, the one who hears you hears me. Why? Because the disciples and the apostles only taught the word of God and the teachings of Christ. Never did they teach any of their own teachings. In one place, I think it is 2 Corinthians, that he told them to keep, the King James translates it, keep the traditions that I told you. No, that should be ordinances, and is so in the faithful version. Now notice, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Why? Because Jesus did what? He taught what the Father commanded him to do. He did what he saw the Father do. He accomplished what the Father wanted him to do. So therefore, he represented the Father because he is the Son. That's a little sidebar on Son. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees understood that if he was really the Son of God, he would be equal with God. That's why they tried to kill him, because that was the ultimate blasphemy. Who could be like God? Now, that's why, in writing the book From Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born?, the last great revelation given to the church, to all the apostles and all the prophets, as you will see when you get the book, is that we will be the very real sons of God the Father. And only those in the first resurrection will be in that category. Whatever the category of the rest are, it's not in the family of God. We will be the children of God the Father. all of those coming into the kingdom of God after that through the millennium, Jesus will be the father of those. When you read Isaiah 9, for unto us a son is born, for unto us a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the Everlasting Father. That's talking about Christ, not referring to the Father, but to himself as the Father, because he will be Lord over the whole earth, God of the earth. We will be there with him in the kingdom, and all of those that come into the kingdom of God during that time will be the children of Jesus Christ and the church, the bride of Christ. So this opens up a lot of understanding when you put it together. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Then we'll come, we need to finish here. Let's go on. Verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. Now notice how the demons and Satan are connected together, just like they were right back there in Revelation 12. Okay. Then he said to them, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Now it is as he was falling from heaven, cast back down to the earth. And everything that the angels had on the earth was destroyed, covered with a flood. Now how long the earth was in that condition, we don't know. How old the earth actually is, it is probably as old as they can calculate the age of the earth really is. Okay? You have just a little bit before we take a break. Think of this. Little sidebar on how old the earth is and how old bones are. Okay? If you find bones in sediment, which came first, the bones or the sediment? The sediment. A little sidebar on that. You ever heard the Piltdown Man? The hoax in England? One man made the bones look real old, buried them in the ground, left them there for a couple of years, and then lo and behold, he dug them up and said, oh, look what I found. And all the scientists came over and said, yes, this is Piltdown Man. Okay. Now, you can never tell the age of the bones buried because there's a transference of minerals from the bones to the earth and from the earth to the bones. It even happens with plants. You ever heard of petrified wood? It's stone. How did it become stone? The minerals from the earth migrated into the wood. So how old is the wood? As old as the stone because it's now stone. But how old was it? Actually, because it fell on the ground, it had to be a tree that grew. And when it fell to the ground, then how long was it becoming petrified? We don't know. So the truth is, you can never really tell how old anything is that has been buried in the earth. Okay? Third sidebar to connect. Recently in South Africa, they unearthed a down deep grave of so-called subhuman beings. Okay? Now then, they were probably some kind of human being. And I think their research will be totally mistaken if they do not compare that with recent and alive pygmies in Africa, because they are about the same size. So you don't know. So it will be interesting to see. Now we'll take a break.